Burrell, and I had to stop myself.
No.
So, but you're looking forward to, I guess, maybe a little bit of a break.
Let me tell you, you know how relaxing it was to sit down at the end of the dais and not have to try to think about that next item or think about every detail of every item on the agenda for a change? It was a little bit refreshing. And as Jimmy, you know, and he's ran those meetings many times before, but, you know, sometimes you have to look at the clerk. Do we have a motion and a second on that? Because your mind is spinning up there at 100 miles an hour. You're trying to think of everything that you have to do and coordinate this whole meeting. And at the same time, you know, something like, wow, I don't know. Did we have a motion? Did we have a second? Where are we? Did we introduce that ordinance? It's a lot to keep up with. So it was nice to kind of relax. I texted the mayor once just for a joke. I texted Jay, you know, because they do that sometimes, you know, and not a lot. I mean, they're paying attention, but, you know, little things. And I said, I don't get to do that.
And you did vote to start rotating the council presidency.
We had decided that a year ago. That's something that we had decided. Like I said, you know, that was no surprise. It may have been a surprise to the public, but it was no surprise to the city council members.
Okay. Due to technical difficulties, we are both going to read the agenda for tonight's meeting from our phones, which, thanks to the City of Fairhope's website and Facebook post, all of you can do as well. What about ordinance number 5? We're changing some personnel rules, longevity to pay. Do we know
well,
about that?
Yeah, so we already, we give longevity pay at the end of every year, and we call it a Christmas bonus, and we will give, I think it was $25 per year of service up to a maximum of $250. So you can, it's for, I think, and it's separate. The pay is separate based on whether or not you're full-time or part-time. Full-time, of course, getting more pay for that, mm-hmm. Longevity pay. And so we want to make it a permanent part, and we're going to suggest increasing that pay. And what this is all about, Lori, is employee retention. You know, we're having to have – we have a lot of turnover, as does everybody in every business, you know. And this is just a way that we can reward our employees each year, and hopefully they'll look forward to that year-end bonus, and hopefully we can, you know, entice them to mm-hmm. stay another year. And they have to stay the full year, you know, to get that. You can't leave 6 months into it. So that's what it is. It's just another way to incentivize employees to hang on. You know, it's a lot of money involved in training employees. And let's say you get somebody brought up to speed on a difficult job, and then somebody dangles an extra $1,000 or $2,000, you know, a year salary out in front of them. Well, this is something hopefully they can look at and go, well, yeah, but I get that year-end bonus with the City of Fairhope every year, and hopefully they'll consider that being a value and stay on. So
and now the new medical facility, what's that called again? The internal city.
That's just our employee health clinic.
Okay, employee health clinic.
Right.
That's,
that's coming online, and you know, there are other municipalities, and the county also has one, but we will have that as well, and that'll be very convenient for employees and their dependents to use. So I think that's a real, a really, really good benefit for our employees to have. You know, not waiting in line at a doctor's office. Just, you know, them being focused on our employees. And other municipalities in the county that use the same system or the same health network, which will be the Symbol Clinics, can use ours, but we will be able to use theirs as well.
That's nice.
So, yeah, that's going to be a really good a good benefit, Lori.
Well, here it is, November, and on the agenda number 7 is to buy the fireworks for 4th of July. Goodness gracious.
Yeah,
you have to order everything early.
You have to get everything early. You know, it's probably might sit on a container ship off Long Beach, California for 6 months before it comes into port. Who knows?
And here's a good one, number 8, for those complaining of sewer. Y'all have spent so much money. Here's another $269,000 for a lift station and force main improvements at 181 and 104.
Well, and you know, Lori, let's talk about that. So that's a really big number, and something that you like to point out to your listening audience quite a bit is how much money we're spending on that. But fortunately, you always ask the mayor or the council basically for justification, which is excellent. I'm glad that you do that. So we're spending that much in an area that's booming. And as you know, I think it's no secret there, you know, there's going to be a Publix grocery store going in out there. There's several subdivisions. We could get into a whole nother conversation, which I think we're going to get into shortly, about what goes on outside the city limits versus and controlling what we can control versus not what we control. But $269,000 is a big number. However, you know, water sewer improvements are things that also reap benefits and have returns on those investments, because once you put, you know, large commercial customers on that system, you know, that's something that pays you a return every month. And it pays you almost into perpetuity as long as that's there.
Right.
Whether it be commercial, especially commercial customers, but also residential customers. So those expenses are covered by the charge for services. And we'll get through this agenda, and let's not forget that work session item as well.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And then we'll get back to, I know, something you told me prior to the show that you wanted to cover.
Yes, social media, a post went viral accusing the council of kickbacks and all kind of stuff concerning development, and I defended your honor, so we'll talk
about
that.
Well, you want to wait on that? You want to wait until we get through the agenda?
Sure,
I don't
think
there's much left on the agenda
of
a lot of substance. A lot of this was just some budgetary expenses and purchasing, signs and doors and, you know, building improvements and some vehicles, which, you know, now we have to order, it seems like, a year in advance.
And the mayor was telling me these transformers for the electric department, y'all have to order $51,000. It's almost a year out to receive them. It's just crazy.
Yes. Yeah, I'm going to have a meeting with a company that that makes substation items, and see if we can't find a way to move up that list and see if we can't be a little bit higher priority. I have that scheduled, I believe, for a week after next.
That'd be great, because didn't I hear, is it kind of like the computer chip for the cars? Are those things all made in China?
They're not all made in China.
Okay.
I'm going to be talking to a local company, a Southern. It's not a Southern. If I say a Southern company, there's a Southern company, family of companies.
Right.
They are located in the southeastern United States, let me say,
okay,
where they manufacture these components. So hopefully, you know, and it depends on where they get all their stuff from. But I think everything is homemade. So we're going to talk to them about opportunities to be a priority.
Okay. Number 19, is this one, Thomas Hospital rents some city property. Is that a renewal of
no,
a rental
this
agreement?
No, this was for a facility. This is like if they have an event, a wellness event or some other event, and
okay,
this allows them to use, say, the Civic Center free of charge. It's the same time there, you know, in Thomas Hospital Foundation being a nonprofit organization. This is essentially the same type of agreement we have with the school system,
okay,
to use our thing. It's just something that we're trying to do for the community. You know, wellness is higher on our priority. Education is a high priority for us. So we want to partner with educational institutions and with the hospital institutions to reduce their cost. Hopefully that they can turn that into better services for our people. And I know that they do that.
I saw one a minute ago, and I've lost it. You're hiring an electrical engineer?
No, that was an electrician. You know what? I'm glad you brought that
there
up, because
is, yes,
don't ever underestimate how important that one item on tonight's agenda is to get that licensed electrician. As every single thing on that agenda, that's probably my most exciting thing. Believe it or not, it is. That is, we have such a need for that right now, and I think that they're looking at a former employee who was just a fantastic employee. I don't want to say that because I'm not the person that does the hiring, but I know that that's at least one of the candidates that they're looking at. And what this position's going to bring to the city of Fairhope can't be understated. I know it sounds mundane to the average person listening to this radio show, but I'm excited. I'm super excited about that.
And
thank
wouldn't
you for
it
that
save
up
the money too from having to
oh
hire
my gosh
a consulting?
God, it's going to save us a fortune.
Yeah.
It's going to allow us to move forward in several items. And you know, we do, when we don't have an electrician, a licensed electrician to do that on staff, we go out and we sub that out and we get them. But we're also at the mercy of the people that we're hiring, mm-hmm, to you know, for their availability.
Right.
This person is going to come in with a laundry list of things to do a mile long.
Exactly. We're speaking with Fairhope City Councilman, not Council President, as the council voted to rotate, and now Jimmy Conyers will be. But you're here to join us as...
Yeah, and you know, it's funny because I said, Jimmy, did you remember this,
the interview?
We interviewed in the morning, and he said he had a meeting. I said, well, you need to find somebody. And he came right back and said, are you available?
The second and fourth Mondays of each month, I have the council on, and the second, fourth Tuesday, the mayor. It is 8:39, 63 degrees, by the way. Anything else on the agenda?
Just the work session that was talking about a discussion about the Dyess Triangle.
Right.
And, you know, that's the 108 acres we've been talking about for quite a while. Now, we have been the recipients of a grant to make improvements to that property. And so we need to discuss, what exactly it is we want to do. A couple of years ago, there was talk about putting that into a conservation easement. That conversation has more turned towards simultaneously deeding that to single tax and them deeding it back to us. That'll probably be a single transaction. And the reason you do that is because when you deed it to them, they can put encumbrances on that and then deed it back, which cannot be changed. It's probably a much less expensive way to put that into preservation forever, mm-hmm. as opposed to having to pay basically maintenance costs. When I say maintenance, there's a fixed cost for someone to manage the conservation easement in addition to whatever cleanup or improvements have to be made. So
this is 108 acres, yep. Right at the entrance of Fairhope. Right. That, for newcomers, you're going to have to Google it and research. It's too much for us to get into now. But
yeah,
after a lengthy battle and lawsuits, it's the city's, and the city decided to make it all parkland.
Right. Well, it's, and you know, believe it or not, it's still not zoned parkland right now. It's still zoned. That land is zoned for the development, the PUD that was passed many years. It was years. I've been on the council 9 years now, just over 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so prior to my time on the council, I think many years prior to my time on the council, they had voted to put a PUD on that called Village, I believe it was Village North maybe. But that, never occurred because the city wound up purchasing that land.
And didn't Mayor Kant and that administration designated a forever park service? How did that?
That's just always what's been stated, but it's never been officially designated as a park.
Oh.
It's not a park right now.
Because what are you going to do when the city expands and you need a new civic center and you need new facilities and there's 100 acres of what I thought was designated as a parkland?
No,
I'm
it's
pretty
not
sure
designated
it has
a
been.
Parkland yet. Well, for me personally, this is only me speaking, but I do think that several council members at least feel this way, is that we want to preserve that 108 acres, because I think when we look back 50 or 100 years from now, just like we look back at the lands along the bay, we look at Henry George Park, we look at... we look at the Bayfront Park, North Beach, South Beach. We look at all those lands that were given to us by single tax colony to be parklands forever, and we think, wow, they had a lot of vision. They had a lot of wisdom in doing so. You know, I think we should preserve this 108 acres, because 20, 30, 50 years from now, when this city is 100,000 people, people are going to hopefully look back and say, at least, you know, they had the common sense to preserve this land. You know, you mentioned the Civic Center.
Right, but where are you going to expand downtown?
Right, you're going to expand the Civic Center, you know, on the footprint that it's in.
Well, what about expanding the parking? Does it make sense?
It makes absolute sense. Mm-hmm. So what I would do was, where the existing parking lot is, I would first of all, I'd have to excavate that to raise a parking deck there that would probably be, you know, 3 to 4 levels of parking. The Civic Center, most of what is the ground level, you know, we have told South Alabama, we have a new lease with them, but we told them that we didn't want to make it any more than 5 years, because they have 16,000 feet leased, which was the old library.
Mm-hmm.
So if you add that to the existing floor place and open that up, you would have quite a large civic center. And then for the executive offices, that would be like the mayor's offices and the people that support the mayor and the council, I would envision, you know, raising that building to a 40-foot height limit, and those offices would be stacked on top of each other, you know, 3 high, And so if you, by doing so, you have an enormous amount of room there. We've even talked to Mardi Gras organizations that have their events there every year and said, yeah, there's probably going to come a time where for 2 years you have to, you know, have your event somewhere else. So we've let them know that. We've let South Alabama know that. And I think that that site that we have there is large enough to have a renovated, I don't want to call it a civic center. This has been a vision of mine for many years. I would call it a mini convention system, because in those stories of, say, office space, I think you can put breakout rooms and have meeting rooms there as well.
And then the K-1 Center would be a totally different a performing arts and more of a public classroom type facility.
It would be, well, the, you know, the STEAM Center, which is being built by FEEF, is separate from the city. They've leased that land, of course, for next to nothing, but we've allowed them to use some of the out parcels there, and they have part of that campus leased now, and so that would be separate from what we would envision as a performing arts center at the actual location of the historic Fairhope High School.
But nothing going on there right now.
Just no, but I tell you what, I think you know, we've got so much infrastructure work going on right now that it's hard to place a couple of more large projects. But I do think within the next year to two, you're going to see a lot of movement on the K-1 Center. You're probably going to see a big effort, big push for that. But I don't think you're going to see, because of that, I think that being a higher priority than the Civic Center, you're going to see a push for the Civic Center in what I would envision 5 to 6 years, maybe seven, but somewhere in the 5 to 6 year time frame. Okay. And don't forget, we own 115 acres out at Highway 13 and 32 for recreational needs as well.
Right.
We estimate that'll keep us for the next, you know, probably the next 100 years.
Okay. All right. We're speaking with Fairhope City Councilman Jack Burrell here at WABF. It is 8:45 and 64 degrees. Anything else on the agenda tonight's meeting?
No, I think
you
that's
it.
No, it's not a short agenda, but it's not a real long agenda either.
Yeah.
No, I think we covered all the high points. The other stuff was just more day-to-day operations, business as usual, some purchases and things such as that. Some expending of funds, which all of that comes back before the council, whether or not it's budgeted. So, yep.
Okay. Well, then I want to move on to a social media post that I defended your honor over the weekend. I try not to get in Facebook fights, sometimes it's just the ignorance of people. It's just so frustrating.
Well, we read that. You know, I won't read all of it, but it just this one I happen to catch and read. So,
well,
and I don't want to get into the fray.
It's from a parent who is very heartfelt complaining, and I get it. How there's so many kids in the classroom with so many teachers and all the schools and the traffic and the growth. And can we start talking as a community and let them hear us? What does Fairhope need? What does Fairhope want? Not these huge developers who don't live in our community. So I just reminded them that development y'all can't control. And then some people wanted to say that y'all were bribed in order
well,
to approve
you know,
these
of those
things.
People that say stuff like that, you know, Lori, first of all.
But let's just talk about even in the city.
Yeah.
If Lori Dubose comes to you and I want to build a boutique hotel in downtown Fairhope, okay? Yeah. The process is extensive. Tell us about that. I don't think every employee in the city is going
to
be
bribed. Planning Commission. The first thing you look at, if you're talking about within the city, the first thing you're going to look at is zoning. And if that area is zoned for that particular use, you know, you're bound by law to allow that, provided that they conform to your building codes and your building regulations and, you know, and those types of things mean setback lines and
let's just say I submitted
parking.
The perfect plan. I did all my research. I had the architecture, the engineers, and I submitted the perfect plan that met all of the requirements of the city's ordinances concerning this.
Okay, so two things I want to say. First of all, if you submit that, that goes to the Planning Commission, and it's a perfect set of plans, and it's already zoned for that use, that doesn't even come before the City Council. We only consider rezoning issues. So, number one, when you blame the City Council for something like that, that's not even a decision we make. In fact, the City Council, for zoning issues, we do have a say In many, maybe even the majority of cities in Alabama, the city council doesn't even have a say-so anymore in zoning issues. At least we've held on to that.
So some of that's legislated by state law.
Yeah, right. So if we are, you know, when we're tasked with rezoning, we look very, very hard at it. And we look at density and all this. But you know, when people own property and there's a certain zoning on it, they have a right to develop it according to that zoning as long as they meet all the other rules and regulations. Okay. And if you bring that perfect set of plans, you know, you can't say no. Let's say that you're downtown B2 and you want to build something that is allowed in the B2 designation. The city can't tell you what type of B2 you can build or not build. As far as if you want to build a snow cone stand, well, we can't tell you. You can't build a snow cone stand. We want a radio station in that spot. You can't do that.
Can't control that. All right, well, let's just say that it was an almost perfect plan. So the planning department goes through it with a fine-tooth comb and then bring the plan to the Planning and Zoning Commission, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, and the commission looks at it based on what the city department, planning department, has recommended.
Right.
But you're saying if it's everything's great, it doesn't even go to the commission or the council.
Well, no, it goes to the commission.
All the rules have been followed.
It still goes to the commission for, say, a site plan review and things like that. But it doesn't go to – well, let me take that back. There are many things that do not go to the planning commission that are just approved by staff. For instance, if you're building a house, well, you don't go to the planning commission. If it's a residential neighborhood and you're building a house, that doesn't go to planning commission. But what I still think – What 99% of the people are complaining about in this town is the explosive growth that we're seeing on the fringes of our city limits. People don't have a map that they pull out of their back pocket to even know where the city limits are. And our city limits gerrymander so much around the city in areas in which they assume that it's Fairhope municipal limits, and it's not Fairhope municipal limits, and it's in unzoned county, people. It's unzoned, meaning that person, as long as they can build, if they want to build an apartment complex in this unzoned county, all they have to do is meet the apartment rules and regulations for the county, and they can build it. And the city of Fairhope cannot stop them. If they're in our planning jurisdiction, we can tell them they have to build it to our rules and regulations. But if it's unzoned, we can't tell them what to build there. 99% of the complaints that you see are that. And we can tell them, no, you can't do this or that. If they want to annex into the city, we can say, no, we're not going to annex you. And they'll say, perfectly fine, we'll stay outside of the city. So what happens? You know, I saw conversations about impact fees, and we have impact fees. We have tap fees. There's all sorts of fees that we charge these developers when they build these big subdivisions or multifamily housing projects that go towards building our infrastructure. And there was somebody that complained, well, it wasn't done enough. And he said, I can only control what I can control now on the council. I can't control what was done prior. And we're trying to make all of that better. We have raised fees. We've raised impact fees. We've raised tap fees. We've raised fees for the cost of services. And many people complain about that. So complain that you're paying too much, or you're saying we're not paying enough. You can't win that argument. We're doing everything that we can to balance that and to catch up as evidenced by this huge budget we passed. But, you know, for somebody to say that we're in bed with the developers, I don't even talk to developers. I mean, for anybody to say that, I'd say bring it on. Bring whomever you want to accuse and who. Because, see, you notice there's no this person or that person. It's just a generic statement. It's in vogue now to beat up on politicians, to just make up stuff about politicians. But if anybody wants to sit down and have a cup of coffee over and say that to my face, I'll be glad to sit down with them and explain to them what I do every day for the city. Because, you know, this is a part-time job. There's no – and it's not just me, any of the council members. We all work. We all have jobs. We all love this city. We all do the best for it. But for somebody to basically accuse you of being a crook, you know – I'll bet you most of the people who do that are too much of a coward to say it to your face. So I'd say to come sit down with me and let's talk about it, you know.
The initial post was, I think, from a mother's point of view and frustration of the growth and the classroom size. And I get that as a mother. And one of the things that I think could be gleaned from that is the county, the city, and the school boards working together. And I know that's been attempted before. Chris Elliott even wanted some legislation that would allow the county and the development and the schools to work together to accommodate the growth. Sherry Sullivan, our mayor, mentioned perhaps getting with the county concerning the comprehensive land use plan, because they're looking at revamping theirs as well.
Right. That is true. And I believe that we, even as the, put on my chairman of the Eastern Shore Metropolitan Planning Organization, we get these forecasts for growth along the Eastern Shore, which would be Daphne, Spanish Fort, Fairhope, and parts of Loxley. We look at the number of new housing starts and new housing units, and we've said this information must be shared with the county school system, and I believe that all of that is so that they can forecast where they're going to need an elementary school, where they're going to need a middle school. But the city of Fairhope is not responsible for educating the students in Fairhope. We are in a county school system, and despite much support from our municipality in terms of giving them straight up cash, whether or not we lease land, we maintain facilities, we do as much or more than any community in the county to support our school kids. But as far as overcrowding out the schools, if they're building in the county and that's where the growth is occurring, and they're in the Fairhope High School feeder pattern, that's almost beyond our control.
Right, exactly. And now, you do have the series of comprehensive land use plans that have been started since September. December 2nd, 10 a.m. at Homestead Village. December 2nd, 6 p.m. at the Thompson Hall Fire Station. I did post those meetings and told these folks, please go and express your opinions and learn at these meetings. But the mayor had mentioned last week that maybe getting with the county.
Sure, that's the key, Lori.
That the council can get with the county. How does that work, especially the key, with a new jurisdiction law that's going to shrink our jurisdiction?
We're actually going to be hamstrung by two pieces of legislation that the Barnwell Landmark Historic District, which is going to prevent us from annexing part of those lands without those people's participation. Not to throw the landowners under the bus, but if you want to get mad at the council for, not being able to do anything about unzoned land, if you live in those areas, you need to talk to your neighbors, because they are the ones that own the land, and they're the ones that are selling the land to the developers.
Right.
But then how do you blame them if they've owned that land for hundreds of years? Why aren't they allowed to say, okay, I'm going to sell my land. You sell your home for the highest price you can get. Well, if you happen to be a farmer that's owned land for 200 years, and you want to say, I want to sell 100 acres off and retire, who are your neighbors to prevent you from doing that?
Exactly. It's a catch-22.
It all sounds great to say we're growing too fast until you sit down, peel those layers back, and say, what can we do? The key is to get with the county, and the county needs zoning. There, in the areas in which there's no zoning, the county needs zoning, plain and simple.
But that's up to the landowners.
It's up to the landowners. Well, unless the county, they've had votes where people in a certain area can vote for zoning. Right. And you had one down at a Point Clear, the most recent, wound up in a lawsuit when people tried to rezone that
land. That's right. Okay.
Or not rezone it, but apply zoning to it.
Before we run out of time, which we virtually have, give me a synopsis from the Eastern Shore Metropolitan Planning Organization as their chairman. Where do we stand on the bridge?
Well, we're still waiting to hear. We had a meeting last week that was called off. We were going to have a joint meeting of the Mobile and Eastern Shore MPOs.
Right. What happened to that?
On the Bayway. I think they're really close to bringing some good information to us, and they just weren't quite ready. I found out, of course, that the day before that we were supposed to have the meeting, that was going to be canceled. I do believe that the ball is still moving forward. I do think we'll have some news coming out probably in the mid-December time frame.
Okay. What did I read a headline about the Go Mesa, which is the offshore gas and drilling fund money? Go Mesa funds distributed did not include the bridge? Birmingham got several millions or billions of dollars for a bridge, but we didn't. What's
That's
up with
correct.
That?
Well, it's just, we keep, we're not getting our due in South Alabama. You'd think but as our population grows, we're going to be heard more and more, because when Mobile and Baldwin County can sway an election, that's when Montgomery will wake up and start giving us our due, and instead of building, you know, projects in Birmingham that cost hundreds of millions of dollars, which I'm not saying they don't need. I'm sure it was needed, but then we could get some paltry amount for a multi-billion dollar project that would help the entire state. In fact, to help the whole nation. You know, we're looking for infrastructure bill money here. Hopefully we can get some of that. I don't know, but you know, we're still waiting for some numbers to come out of Montgomery.
What about numbers out of Washington and the Build Back Better?
Right. Well, that's what I'm. Yeah, the infrastructure bill. You know, it would be nice to get something. I mean, you know, even if we didn't get the full amount, you know, what if we just got a third of what we need or a fourth of what we need? So we've
well,
asked.
Who's responsible for that? Congressman Jerry Carl.
Our congressmen and women are responsible for fighting over that. Of course, you know, we're a very deeply red state. We are playing by the blue state's set of rules right now. So can we get that? I just hope that people from that represent us can cross the aisles and try to put forward a case for why we should get some of that money. Like I said, the estimated cost of that bridge, doing the whole project, is $2.1 billion, and it would be nice to, you know, just get maybe you get $500 million or $700 million, get a third of it or something like that.
Well, I've heard we've got $250 earmarked already.
We've got $125 from the federal government, and we've got about $250 from the state. So we actually have $375 million that's waiting to be used right now. So we do have some funds. And I asked Director Cooper this several weeks ago if, you know, our annual appropriation, if we could take a part of that and put towards the bridge every year. And he said, you know, it's not out of the question, but you know what's going to happen is the rest of the state's going to vote to take that money and put it somewhere else.
And what about scaling down the plans? Does it really have to be $2.1 billion to put a bridge over the
Well, we made the argument that do you actually have to put in a new section of raised bayway, which is hundreds of millions of dollars? And the answer that we keep hearing is, if you want a new bayway, is yes. We had a plan that was about $1.5 billion that would use the existing bayway. But I think that the counter to that, and it's you know, I think it's true. You look just to our east in Pensacola, and the Pensacola I-10 bridge has been taken out by a hurricane. You look to our west at Pontchartrain, and the Pontchartrain bridge over Lake Pontchartrain between Slidell and New Orleans has been taken out by a hurricane. And so they make a pretty good argument that, you know, while we've been safe for 50 or 60 years, there's a chance that bridge could be wiped out.
And
so
doing that could be a Band-Aid instead of an ultimate.
Well, it would be a Band-Aid. We have to think it may never happen. We hope it doesn't, but it's certainly a possibility. Mm-hmm. So they want to raise that bridge. That's why the price tag goes up. And you can't use it. And not only that, though, the existing bayway bridge, just the elevated portions there, they're getting very aged, and they may only have, you know, 20, 30 years of life left anyway. So the last thing you want to do is tie it all into that, and then wait a minute. As soon as you finish that,
right,
you know, in 10 years, you're like, oh, well, in 10 years, we need a new one. You know, and then you're back to all of the environmental studies that have to be done, or all the red tape you have to go through, which took, by the way, took 20 years to come to fruition. Wow. So we don't want to change it too much.
Right. Got it. All right, Jack. I know you got to run. Yep. Thank you.
Thank you.
Jack Burrell, Fairhope City Council. They meet tonight at 6:00.